Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you go there this evening? Man, that was tremendous. I know Pastor sometimes jokes with the specials about can we hear that again? But that was just really special. So ladies, you can do that one again sometime, all right? We won't put it on you tonight, but maybe in a couple months here, bring that one back. Love to hear that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to spend some time here towards the end of the chapter tonight, and primarily because if you have taken any notice of the theme for the Midwinter Retreat this year, you are familiar that it is unmovable. And this is not just something that we, you know, are going to beat our chest and say, hey, that's me, I'm unmovable. This is actually a principle found in God's Word, and we're going to look at it here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 is where we find this term, but it does fit inside a bigger picture, and I want us to take a look at it this evening together as we sort of enter in to a retreat that already has been bathed in a lot of prayer. Let's go ahead and read our text, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. You'll notice what the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast," there's our word, "unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Have you ever tried to stabilize something that did not appear too sturdy? I can think of several times. I think about when I was a kid and I was in my room. I went through this tent phase. Did anybody else go through a tent phase? Building tents, you know, with blankets and just things around the house. Did anybody go through that? Thank you for your honesty. I saw some, okay, you know. I went through a tent phase, and I was just, you know, I'd go around the house, and I'd just grab big blankets and just drag them into my room, you know. So that's my bedspread, sorry, you know. I'll return it. And I take it into my room, and the idea was to cover as much space with just blankets, you know, suspend them as best that I could. And of course, you know, I didn't build braces. I'm a little kid. I'm just doing whatever I can. I mean, I'm putting the corners under lamps, you know, on the dressers and anything that's relatively heavy enough to hold the corner or the edge so that I can sit under there. I don't know. I mean, it was just fun to do, but inevitably I would hit a blanket, something would fall over. Sometimes the whole dresser went, you know, I'd tuck it in the top drawer of the dresser and then just, you know, hit it just right. I remember several things like that. It wasn't built for toughness per se. It was just, you know, a thing. I remember when we had our a groundbreaking service out at the Concordia property. How many of you were there? You were at the Concordia property for the groundbreaking. So we get out there, and I'm going to be singing a special, but we sang several congregational songs, and we brought a keyboard out there, but we didn't have a stand for it. So, you know, we're just kind of out there, and somebody had these desks. And I don't know if they're in the elementary, they use them in the elementary or whatever, but the desks, we brought a couple of them, and the desks had these legs that were extendable, but it was extendable by a screw. So it was very difficult to get right. So you would like, okay, well, this thing is not steady, you know, okay, so one of these legs is off, right? And so you get down, you're like, you know, and you try to fix it, and then you come back, it's like, you're like, what is going on? We probably spent 15 minutes, and we still didn't get it right, and the pianist kind of had to play crooked the whole time, and it was frustrating. It was annoying. It was unsettling, we could say. If you've ever sat in a chair that you didn't have much confidence in, you know that's not a real fun thing to do. How many of you have ever sat in a chair and it broke? Has anybody ever done that before? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. You know, you're sitting in there and maybe you just sensed that it wasn't the strongest, and then maybe it just gave way or something like that. You know, when we can't put our confidence in something, we say that we're unsettled, okay? And this passage of Scripture really has a lot to do with that principle. Now, let me say that I think in general we could say that our world has gone through some very unsettling times. I mean, the past few years, in many regards, I mean, we could look at, you know, when the coronavirus started. It's been years now, right? And yet, each country has had to deal with it as best that they've felt like they could. And it's been a troubling or unsettling thing for a lot of people. You think about politically. And of course, now 100 years ago, we were not all tied together. Okay, we couldn't know in an instant what was happening in the other side of the world. You know, there was no such thing as a viral video. Okay, that just didn't happen. Right, nowadays, something unsettling can occur, and we know about it just practically instantaneously. There are a lot of unsettling things and a lot of unsettling places that people in this world would say that they occupy. You know, but let me go a step further, because I think that we have seen, especially over the course of the past 3 years, that even Christians have struggled with being at a place of settlement in their soul. And as much as you and I would look at each other and say, wow, are these just unprecedented times? Are these just times that history has never had to deal with the things that we're dealing with? Well, I think truth be told, we can look to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see some parallels in their day and some unsettling things that they were facing. And I want us to look at this tonight, but instead of focusing on the unsettling things per se, I want us to focus on how we can be stabilized. Okay, there's that place of uneasy, unsettlingness in our soul, and yet there's a place that God wants us to be, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Lord, would you direct our hearts tonight? Lord, we need you. I pray, God, that you would bring about a settledness in our faith. Lord, when we look at the things that could cause us to be at a place of uneasiness or unsettlingness in our soul, Lord, there's a propensity there for all of us to occupy that place. But I pray tonight, Lord, that we would receive both encouragement and challenge from your word that would help us live this Christian life. Lord, we ask for your help. We'll give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes tonight, I want you to see the first principle that we see in this passage. And that is, number one, fear is the great destabilizer. Fear is the great destabilizer. I want you to see this here starting in verse 51. And you'll notice that there were some fears in this day that Paul had to address. And we see it here in verse 51. Notice what the Bible says. I'd like everybody to put your eyes on this. Brother Nathan, could you just go ahead and grab those two or three Bibles? I see some folks kind of looking starry-eyed like that. Oop, I guess I should have brought my Bible. So if you didn't bring your Bible, just go ahead and raise your hand. He'll get to you. I want everybody to be able to see a copy of God's Word tonight. That's really the reason why we're here. 1 Corinthians 15. And then notice what it says, verse 51. Notice what he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." In other words, Paul's about to tell something to these believers that he had never said before. And look at what he says. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." He's talking about when the Lord returns. He's talking about when the Lord comes back for us and believers. And we're going to be brought up, caught up together with him in the air. And he's going through that. Notice what it says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." He's talking about both body and spirit. Verse 54, "So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." Notice this phrase, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He's showing, and he's talking here specifically about some fears that the Corinthian believers had. And fear is the great destabilizer. Let me say this about fear, and we understand that just because we are human, it is a very human thing to fear. In fact, David said that he had fears In Psalm 34 and verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, when we look at the character of David, we don't typically think of someone who struggled with fear in their heart, but he's basically saying, hey, as a believer, I was at an unsettled place. I was fearful. What do we know about fear? Well, fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I love the analogy. It's like getting caught in something that's keeping me from moving forward. It's distracting me. And that is what fear does. The Christian who has a good amount of fear in their lives is a Christian who has a good amount of struggle. And whether you have realized this at any point in your life, this is 100% the case. And Paul was dealing with it with the Corinthians, and we deal with it ourselves. What were some of the fears? Well, you notice that there was fear of death. What does he say here? He says in verse 54, he says, it's like he's addressing death. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And so the believers here were struggling with the thought of dying. Now, I was looking at a statistic earlier today that said something like only 20% of people, only 20% of people say that, well, I'm not really fearful of death. And so that means there's about 80% of us out there that have a big question, and I wonder how many of those 20 are actually Christians, believers, who say, hey, I know where I'm going, I know what's going to happen when I die. But this was a fear for the Corinthians. Well, yeah, they had accepted Christ as their Savior, and yeah, they had put their trust in Him, but as they began to walk the path, there was an unsettled feeling that was starting to take place in their heart in regards to death. And so Paul has to show up and say, hey, listen, this is a fear that is causing you to be at an unhealthy place in your Christian life. It's bringing an unsettledness to you. And so he addresses it. He lets them know, hey, listen, when Christ died on the cross, death was swallowed up in victory. And death no longer has the sting that it once did. But there wasn't only fear of death, but there was fear of the grave. Notice what he says in verse 55. He says in the latter part there, he says, O grave, where is thy victory? These Christians, you know, what happens to me? I mean, what happens to my body when I'm in the grave? And they were wondering about other loved ones who had accepted the Lord and then died. Are they still in the grave? He has to address this. And again, fears about death, fears about the grave, fear about keeping the law. Have I been a good enough person? He goes on to say, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. Fear of keeping the law. So Paul's message to the Corinthians here was that all the things that were working to destabilize them had already been taken into account and answered. And I want you to think about that statement because it's 100% true. Any fear that you may have or that I may have in this life has already been made provision for by the Lord Jesus. It's already been addressed. So just like Paul could go to these believers and say, listen, hey, you've got some questions about death. Hey, you've got some fears about the grave. Hey, you've got an unsettledness in your spirit about this or that. Can I just say that there's victory found in Christ and that there is no fear that could enter the life of a Christian, a thought that you have or that I have that has not at some point in time been addressed or answered by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. And that's a tremendous blessing. But you have to understand that for any Christian whatsoever, fear is the great destabilizer. So if we could go back to the chair, perhaps we're uneasy about the place that we are. Perhaps we're concerned about, just the stability of that. Well, you can't enjoy abiding in Christ when you have doubts or when you have questions. That's why it's so important for you to go to your parents, go to Pastor Pittman, ask some questions of an adult who knows the Bible, because again, the Lord Jesus has made provision. You and I don't have to be at an unsettled place. We don't have to be at a place where we fear and we have doubts, because mark it down, you cannot live an effective Christian life if you are destabilized by fear. And 100% fear will always destabilize your Christian life. But God addresses it. Let's continue on because he gives a great, great second thought here in verse 57. Look at verse 57 here. So we see that faith is the great destabilizer. Notice number two in verse 57, he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Number one, fear is the great destabilizer. But number two, Christ is the great victor. Christ is the great victor. And this is the beautiful thing about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says there's a person that deserves all the credit. There's a person who deserves all of the praise, all of the thanks, and that is none other than God through the work of Jesus Christ. And so for that reason, it is because of Christ that I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. Now, I don't have to be plagued with what's going to happen with this situation or that situation. I don't have to be at an unsettled place and be just constantly worrying about things because the Lord has made provision. Well, how has he done that? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he told us to cast our care upon him. Why? Well, because I care for you. Here, let me take your cares. Let me take your burdens. Let me carry those things for you. And all you have to do in return is just trust that I'll fulfill my word. You see, Christ has made provision for our worry. He's made provision for that lack of settledness in our spirit towards this specific issue or towards that specific issue. All we have to do is simply trust him that he will keep his word in that regard. So he's the great victor. Why? Well, because he has made provision, and I don't have to worry. I don't have to complain. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, "And everything give thanks." Why? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, you may sit here tonight and say, "Brother Scott, I feel like I've got some things that I'd like to tell somebody about that I'd just like to complain about. You know, I don't particularly like the color of my room and my mattress isn't real comfortable. And, you know, I'd like to ride to school every day in a BMW and we've got the Kia. You know, I just got some things that I don't particularly like about this situation or that situation." And can I tell you that Christ has already made provision for those things? Boy, you and I don't have to sit back with a critical spirit and begin to pick apart this and that, because you know what? Ultimately, those are things that are out of our control. And Christ says simply this. He says this, listen, "I've made provision for you." Well, you don't have to have that spirit. Well, give thanks. Okay, look at your life through the eyes of what God is doing, not through the eyes of maybe what you don't have. Christ made provision for our worry. He's made provision for our complaining. We don't have to. He's made provision so that we don't have to seek revenge. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Well, what does the Lord Jesus do for us? Again, he is the great stabilizer, right? Fear is that thing that puts us at an uneasy place. We want to get wrapped up in our fears. But he's saying, listen, just trust me, because that worry, that complaint that you have in your heart, that desire to hit back at that person, listen, you don't have to do that because I see that hurt. Boy, I know what that person did to you. Boy, I know what's going on there. But let me tell you, you can receive the reward when you respond correctly. And you can have the confidence that, hey, I'm going to take care of you when you do. Boy, what a blessing. We have a God that settles our spirits. We have a God that is the great stabilizer of our faith. And I want to ask you, are you allowing the Lord to do that in your life? Because Christ, he's the one that deserves the thanks because he is the great victor. We don't have to worry, complain, seek revenge, be controlled by lust. Galatians 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Hey, we don't have to be controlled by our fleshly man that demands things of us and wants what we cannot have, that lusting that takes place in all of us, whether it's covetousness or something sensual that is wrong. We don't have to be dominated by that because we can walk in the Spirit. Well, that's something the Lord's given to all of us. Well, I don't have to choose this way because I can choose this way. And this is what God has done. Boy, he is the great stabilizer of our faith. We don't have to be controlled by lust. We don't have to be dominated by sin. Romans 6 and verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion or dominate you, for ye are not under the law, but are under grace. Boy, what a blessing. What a blessing. Christ is the great stabilizer of our faith. He's the great victor. And lastly, I don't have to know the future. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6. Those worries, those fears, boy, the Lord speaks to him in his word. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6. He says, just trust me with all your heart. Quiet your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge me. And guess what? Here's the promise. Here's the provision. I'll direct your path. Boy, that's what Christ does for us. So again, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Boy, there's fears, and Paul's speaking to him. He says, listen, you've got some fears, and they, you know what, there's something to them. I understand those. And you know what, all of us in this room have fears as well. But when we understand that those fears, when dominating us and left undealt with, make us an unstable Christian, and then we recognize what Christ has accomplished and what we can allow him to do in our lives, boy, he brings great provision to us. He brings great provision to us as believers. And so we see here that fear is the great destabilizer. We see that Christ is the great victor. And then finally, we see in verse 58, and this will be in closing, we see a picture of stability, the picture of stability. Verse 58 there, we see it, therefore, my beloved brethren. What is Paul saying? He's saying, listen, therefore. He's saying, all this other stuff, because of the fear, Jesus is the victor. And now let me give you a picture of what a stabilized Christian looks like. Has anybody ever talked to you about something that was going to take place in the future? And it sounded so good on the front end, but it just kind of, once it was accomplished, it didn't quite go as maybe you thought it was going to go. I remember, it's been 10 years ago now, probably, and we were in Best Buy, and we had set aside some money, and I was going to buy a good-sized television. And ladies, you may not understand this. For a guy, this is a very special moment, okay? The size does matter, okay? The quality of picture, it does matter. It's got to be the latest technology, cutting edge, I mean, all of those things. And so we went into Best Buy, and I'm scaling out the televisions, and I found some smart TVs. Okay, now this was a hot thing 10 years ago. Okay, now they sell them everywhere, but this was just a big thing. It was on the front end of the TV market, and they were advertising 3D TV. Okay, this TV set came with glasses. Sweetness. All right. I mean, and they always make these, they do the outside of these boxes just really great, you know, and the family's sitting there, you know, and it's like the perfect family. I don't know where they find these people, right? But they're there, you know, and the kids are all behaving, you know, and their hair is just perfectly combed. You know, that's never how it is at our house. But anyway, we're, you know, there's the family, and they've all got the 3D glasses on. And the expression on their faces, who knows what they were watching, but it must have been amazing, okay? Because they are into this. I said, babe, we got to have this. We have to have this. This looks amazing. I mean, can you imagine a 3D? I mean, we've been to some 3D things and seen some. It's like, they're like, whoa, you know, like, can you imagine doing that in our living room? And we got it. We got it, and, you know, there's some other really neat functions on there. And I'll tell you, for all of that, we never even used it. We never used it. We didn't. I don't know where those glasses are. Do we still own that TV? Do we still own the TV? Yeah, right. Well, you see, the other thing, too, is you've got to buy, like, the 3D version of the movie, which there's, like, I think there's only two movies that were ever made that way, okay? So they got us. They got us big time, all right? I was just sucked in by the picture and the people and the description. It was all so amazing, okay? But listen, that's not how this is, okay? That's not Jesus will solve all your problems and then that's the end of the story. No, Paul is giving us something here that has teeth to it. It's something that's very important. I want you to see it here as we get to a close. Notice the picture of stability that he gives us here. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Notice he gives us a picture of, number one, a man who is settled. Okay, this is a settled man. Okay, this is the picture of a Christian that is a settled man. And I want you to see this. He says, be ye steadfast. Now, the thing that we don't see much of here that is on the underside of the language is the fact that this is something that is being done to us and for us. Okay? So, in other words, it's not just like, I'm settled. Okay? It's not just I, like, all of a sudden get up this emotional, I'm not moving, you know, in this Christianity thing. Okay? No, it's something that the Lord is doing to us. Okay? And so as we open ourselves, we say it this way, as we avail ourselves to the truth of God and His provision, okay, as we open ourselves to it, in other words, Lord, I see what You've done for me. I see the steps of obedience that I need to take in regards to those things. And as we do that, the Lord does this for us. He brings a settledness. Okay, so the first thing here is a settled man that we see. The word settled here means sedentary. It means evenly planted. It means stabilized. Okay, it's that chair you're sitting in, or I hope you're sitting in tonight, okay, that's not wobbling or that's, you know, about to cave over or something like that. No, it's firmly planted. It's established. And that's exactly what faith in the Lord, trust in Him, and saying, Lord, what is Your answer to this fear? What is Your solution to this problem? That is what the Lord brings to my heart and your heart when we allow that process to take root. Brings a settledness. What else does it bring? It brings, and this is our word for the retreat, it says unmovable is the next word. He's steadfast, he's unmovable. So this is it, a settled man. Number two, a secure man, unmovable. Okay, now this speaks more to the response of the things that would move us. Okay, now there are certain things in the Christian life, whether it's fear or whether it's something else, some type of temptation, that would work to move us off of our place of choosing Christ, abiding in Him. There are things that would move us, that would push against us. The idea is the man that stands at the top of the hill that's playing King of the Hill, right? And the other people run up and try to push him over, right? And he's trying to establish his ground and maintain his position. There are things that are pushing against. And there are certainly things that push against you, whether it's temptation from the world or whether it's a thought that comes into your mind. Those are things that want to move you and unsettle you in your Christian life. But the truth Paul wants us to realize is that we can remain in that settled and established position and we don't have to live our lives like this. Some Christians are trying to live their lives, trying to balance on a three-legged chair. And it's rocky, and it's inconsistent, and sometimes it looks bad, it looks sad, and yet the Lord wants us, and Paul wants us to remember that, hey, Christ, He's got the solutions. We don't have to live that way. We can be at a place where we're settled, where we're not moved by all those other things. So it's a settled man, it's a secure man, and then lastly, a third of all, because there's two left, a thriving man. What does he say? What does he say here? Look at it. He's steadfast, he's unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Boy, what an awesome picture of stability here. So the Lord's not only saying, look, replace your fears with me and what I can do, but he's saying this, you won't just be at a stabilized position, but you're going to advance. You're going to abound. You're going to go further than maybe what you would have anticipated. A year ago, I preached a message, and it still sticks with me today. This was a principle that the Lord dealt with my heart last year on, and that is this principle that Christ is more than enough. He's more than enough. And will you see that thought woven throughout the New Testament when he says, hey, I'll do above and beyond. Hey, I'm going to put you in a place where you can not just be okay, but a place that you can abound. You ever known a Christian that went through great difficulty? You looked at it and you said, how do they still have a smile on their face? Why, how is it they're not so bitter? Why, how is it that they're able to get through this? And it's strange to me because they seem like they are almost doing better even though they've had that all that pressure on them. Listen, there are a multitude of testimonies and stories all throughout history where Christians have suffered and put through just horrendous things in which in those moments, those were some of the most abounding moments. And that's what Christ does. Boy, it's the complete opposite of fear. It's the complete opposite of when we just sit in our worries and our fears and what that does to us, the unsettledness that that brings to us. He's settled, he's secure, he's abounding, he's thriving. And then lastly, we see a knowing man. What does the Bible say? He says, for as abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. And here's the key, is that we continue to be mindful of and that we know that the Lord is ultimately in control, and then a life that is lived throughout through the stabilizing truth that Jesus brings is a life that is lived with no regrets. I'm going to give you two statements and then we're done tonight. Number one, the more we give ourselves to our fears, the more unstable we will be. The more we give ourselves to our fears, the more unstable we will be. And here's the other one. The more you give yourself to the truth of Christ, the more settled you will be. And that is every time. That is every time. Listen, if you want to sit and worry and complain about your problems, you're going to find that that is going to put you at a very unsettled place. And maybe some of you have already realized that. But on the flip side, you will find that the more you give yourself to Christ, open yourself up to what He wants to do and how He wants to stabilize you, the more you will be settled in yourself. You know, there's a reason that after you spend a week at teen camp, a week of giving yourself to the Lord, that you feel like you're at a better place. There's a reason for that, and it's tied to this truth. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Listen, the purpose of our midwinter retreat has everything to do with us being at that place of stability. You know, I'd love to stand up here tonight and tell you that there's never going to be a thing that enters the world that will bring unsettledness. I'd love to say that, but we simply know that that's not the truth. There are going to be things that enter our world, and it could come in the form of a political this or that or another sickness that comes down the pike. And there are going to be things that will and could easily put us at a place in our Christian life where we're doubting and we're fearing and we're at a place that is just not settled in the Lord. And that's probably where the devil would like us all to abide. But let's be encouraged as Paul challenges us tonight, and remember that fear is the great destabilizer. Remember that Christ is the great victor. Remember that every single person in this room can occupy that picture of stability. I wonder, by the uplifted hand tonight, who would just say, Brother Scott, it is my desire that as I open myself to the preaching of the midwinter retreat, that the Lord would bring me to a more stabilizing place in my life. Just by the uplifted hand, if you're willing to say that tonight, nobody's looking around, just me and the Lord as we raise our hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen these hands, and Lord, you know how much prayer has gone into the retreat. Father, we want to be in our faith unmovable so that when temptation comes, Lord, when the world would tempt us, Father, that in that moment we find our grounding in what you've said and, Lord, the provision that you have made on our behalf. Lord, I pray that you would work in our invitation time. And, Lord, maybe there's some teenagers, Lord, who need to confess some fear, some lack of trust, some worry. I pray they take care of that tonight. Lord, maybe there's some who just need to dedicate this midwinter retreat to you and Lord, give you a blank check and allow you, Lord, to write what you would on that piece of paper. Lord, we ask that you would bless during this time. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, if God's worked in your heart, the altar is open as it always is. I encourage you to come and pray, talk to the Lord. Maybe you have a visitor that you've invited to come and you want to pray and ask the Lord to sow some seeds in their lives so that this is a great retreat for them. Maybe there's some fear in your life. Maybe there's something that's gotten you to a place of unsettledness. Christ has all the answers. He has every answer. Christ isn't trying to sell you a 3D television tonight. You take it from someone who's lived for 35 years, walking with the Lord is one of the most wonderful things you can do in this life. It's fulfilling, it's satisfying. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would make us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in you. Give us a good remainder of our week. In your name we pray. Amen.